Good morning and welcome to the live broadcast from Eighth Reformed Church, located at 841 Burton Street, Wyoming, and Burton Street Southwest in Wyoming, Michigan. Today, Pastor Harry Koops will bring a message entitled Eternal Comfort from Scripture found in 1 Corinthians 15:35 through 49. This is Beth Koops inviting you to stay tuned in for the next hour as we join the service this morning.
Good morning and welcome to all who've gathered in God's house to worship and praise the living God. It's the living God that we worship, and so this morning our focus is going to be on, I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. And you got to have a living God if he can make those kind of promises. So that's going to be our focus this morning. God, our creator, God, our redeemer, and God, our sustainer, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are Trinitarians. We're so glad you're here. It's good to come together and be part of a time of worship. If you're visiting with us this morning, we greet you. We hope you're blessed, that you feel warmth and hospitality, that you feel welcome. If you don't have a church home, we invite you to consider making this your church home. And to all who are gathered here, visitors and regular attenders, we greet you. We're just glad to be together at a time like this. And then, if you are visiting for the first time, there's a guest book. It's right through those doors, and there's a little shelf on the wall. If you'd be kind enough to sign that, we would appreciate it. And you'll even get some mail this week. So that would be nice of you to do. And then, want to greet all the people that join us through other means. So that would be Jethro Radio. And then also some people join us on the internet, so that's Jethro.fm. And then we're also on YouTube, and some folks still get CDs. And so we just appreciate, are thankful for these opportunities to reach out to people with the good news of who Jesus Christ is. If you join us via some electronic means, but you're able to come and be here in person, consider this your invitation to come and meet with us Sunday mornings, 9:30. It's live time. We're right on Burton Street, just west of Clyde Park. You really can't miss the building. And so we'd love to have you come. And I know to come a first time is always a little bit like frightening, like, okay, how do I dress? Where do I sit? What am I going to do? I just really want to encourage anybody who's never been here. We're a pretty informal group, and you'll feel warmth, and you'll meet people. It'll make you feel welcome, and that first-time jitters will pass away quite quickly. And so we invite you again, come and be part of our fellowship. I also want to give you greetings from Beaver Island. We had the privilege of being there last week, and Howard Davis is just an amazing man. I so respect and admire him, and he arranged all of that so we could be up there last week. And I probably shouldn't tell you this, but it was really cool on the island. It was so comfortable. We enjoyed it a lot. But it was a special time. And the other thing we learned is that Howard is kind of a legend on the island. He is so appreciated, and people speak so highly of him. And for the years of service he and his wife did, first his wife, he and Sally, and then later he and Mary. And tremendous blessing to that church and that community. And Mark and Judy have been there too, and they came back with glowing reports, and now we have seen it with our own eyes that yes, matter of fact, we already signed up for two Sundays for next year, just giving you a heads up. But it was good. And they also send greetings from that church to you at 8th Reformed, and thank you for allowing us the flexibility just to come up and worship with them and lead them in worship. I have one other announcement, and for that I'm going to invite Terry and Liz just to come up for a minute. I only did this because they like surprises. Well, good morning to both of you. Yes, and you have been just an integral part of our church family for a long, long time. And last Sunday, we did listen to the message from Pastor Davis, and it was a wonderful message, but it talked about using gifts. and thought, boy, who uses their gifts better than those Gruders, inside and out? And I learned through the grapevine that you're thinking about just cutting back a little bit. Nobody's begrudging you that. But for years, Terry took care of the gardens outside and pulled the weeds and did the stuff in the parking lot. And he did a lot more, picked up trash. Sometimes you even found cans that you could get 10 cents for that made it, that made it really beneficial. But you did it so willingly. And in the summer when it got hot, you would come early to be work a little bit more in the cool of the day. But anybody who does any husband that does a good job needs a wife encouraging him. So we also thank Liz for just her support, her encouragement, and the things you've done together also inside the church, okay? And that's with the coffee and fixing that. Nobody polishes coffee pots like you do. And Terry has been one of those people that if there's something that needed to be done, he's willing to do it. He's willing to help. He's a willing heart, a willing volunteer. Liz, too, is there encouraging him, helping out in any way he can. This doesn't mean he's retiring. He's just cutting back on a few things. And so on behalf of the church, I have the privilege of just giving you this envelope with a card of appreciation and a little Thank gift. You. And let's give him a nice round of applause.
Thank you.
Thank you both. Yeah. We'll now turn to our call to worship, and our call to worship teaches us this. The Spirit gathers us to worship God and builds us up in faith, hope, and love so that we can go into the world to proclaim the gospel of reconciliation of Jesus Christ, the one who gives us the promise of eternal life. So we're going to stand and sing number 510, Heaven Came Down. It's really a song about Emmanuel. God with us. 510, standing to sing. This is for a later. pray together. Heavenly Father, how can we thank you for what we just sang? Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. That's Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us, and through the power of the Holy Spirit now lives in our hearts. We are so blessed. And we are here to worship you and to praise you, to glorify you and to thank you. Our prayer is that through the power of your Spirit, this service will be a blessing to you, and it'll touch each one of our hearts in such a way that we want to love you more, serve you more, and celebrate being part of the family of God. We praise you and we pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. Receive God's greeting. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. We'll continue worshiping our God, singing number 368, verses 1 and 3, He Lives. Can that song get an amen?
Amen?
Yes, amen. At this time, we'll turn to the very back of our hymnal, and stuck in there should be the words of the Apostles' Creed. And we will recite that together. It's our shortest creed, it's our oldest creed, and it's probably the most concise. Saying together, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And if this service feels a little bit like an Easter Sunday service by some of the songs and that, that's real intentional as we look at, I believe, in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. As we come before our Heavenly Father with our congregational prayer, I just want to give you a couple of updates on our church family. You know, John Rickaby spent some time at Metro, then went to the Oaks for rehab, returned home Friday, and I see John and Carol are here this morning. And we just praise God for that, for prayers answered, and so thankful for that. And then Betty Holmes, she spent some time at Pennock Hospital this past week, just real breathing difficulties. And what she's dealing with is called the rhinovirus, and it has to do with just you have a really hard time getting oxygen. And so she's dealing with that and coughing and wheezing and is starting to recover, so is glad to be home again. Just really appreciative of all your prayers and your concerns and cards that you send, and she loves you too. We want to also remember Cindy and Gordon Ralph's friend Renee. You know, we prayed for Renee. She's dealing with cancer, and then it spread through her body, and then I'm going to say 10 days ago she ended up in the hospital. But this past week, Wednesday, she ended up in the hospital again, had a long emergency surgery through Wednesday night, still in the hospital recovering from that. This is just really a serious situation. And then Robert DeYoung, you know Robert, he sits in that back corner. Robert had a tough week as he was diagnosed with an aggressive form of lung cancer. And Robert will start chemo tomorrow and also have some additional tests this week. So remember Robert in prayer during this time. And then Brett Roberts had a hard week. That's Karen Roberts' son. But it looks like things have stabilized. He's still in the hospital, but the hope and the prayers are that this morning he gets to go home. And so stabilized enough that might become a reality. And then Laura Van Heest is also really struggling. She just describes it as very severe pain in her head. And it's being treated even as she's undergoing more diagnostic tests. But she says it's just horribly uncomfortable and so difficult for her to live with. And then I was just talking to Don Blocker, and her nephew, 16-year-old Finn McGinnis, is in the Children's Hospital even as we speak, dealing with lung issues, and they have some concerns there, and they're working on some drainage, and it seems like a serious condition as well. And then we extend our condolence to Dawn Groon in the passing away of her mother, Joyce Stediga, and that she passed away June the 24th, and the funeral's coming up this week. And then also to Amanda Heiboer, her colleague, Sam Deems, he was the relatively young man who was killed in the car accident earlier this week. Also a big loss for Amanda, just personally, on a personal level. So we want to remember her in prayer as well, and that entire family. Let's come before our God with our congregational prayer. Dear Father in heaven, the one who makes possible the resurrection and the life, we come to you with gratitude and adoration. What an amazing God you are, that you created us to be your children and then provided that road of salvation so that we could be adopted into your family forevermore, our forever family. Such phenomenal love that you have poured out on us, we really don't even know how to thank you. But please accept our humble efforts to worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you that in you is the forgiveness of sins as we confess our shortcomings before you. Thank you for the assurance that when we are covered in your blood, you have a secure grip on us that absolutely nothing can ever sever. We are secure in your grasp. We also pray for those for whom this isn't a reality. For whatever reason that they're not walking with you, our prayer is always that you would touch their hearts. If we can be your instruments in any way, we pray for that leading and guidance, that we don't run ahead of you, that we wait for your nudge. And sometimes you just do it directly with your own spirit. But Father, our prayer is that hearts would be softened and people would be drawn to be part of your family. We pray for those who have physical needs, and we think of the names listed in the bulletin, and we pray for David Conrad, Dan Like, Dorothy Bartlett, and Dan Rotman, Ron and Jenny Benedict, Larry Rudnick, Amber Olson, Tim C., Helen, Joanne Sleeth, Ron Osteich, Michelle Strading, Betty Holmes, Robert DeYoung, Laura Van Heest, Renee, Donna Miller, Jerry Loschutz, Lynn, Shirley Lohman, Ruth Harlan, Emily Dreyer, Max Nelson, Mary Davis, Steve and Dot Luce, and Finn McGinnis. And then we give you thanks that Doug Pueller's procedure went well, that John Rickaby is back home and here with us this morning, he and Carol, that Brett Roberts, Father, our prayer is that he will be able to be discharged and return home this morning, and that Carl is recovering at home also. And then we know that there's lots of unspoken needs, appointments set for this week, treatments starting, all kinds of medical stuff happening. And some people, Father, just dealing with the frustration of it's taking forever to get an appointment. So we come to you. We ask for your grace, for your wisdom, for your leading, and that you would open doors. Help us always to be mindful of you, the Heavenly Father, walking with us, that we are not alone in all of these things. As we pray for the physical needs, we pray for emotional needs. People that are just struggling with things like depression and anxiety and a hopelessness, and is life worth living? We think of those who are trapped in addictions and those that are struggling with just daily life from day to day. Would you be their hope? Would you be their firm foundation? And Father, in the middle of the darkness, would you shine through in such a way that in your embrace, there would be a response that, yes, you are a gracious Heavenly Father, and we're not walking alone. Only you can do that because of where you can go. Father, we pray for relationships, where relationships in the home between husbands and wives, between parents and children, extended family, with brothers and sisters. All of us are in relationships. Sometimes it's with our neighbors, with our co-workers. Relationships aren't easy. And we're all aware of that when we're driving. Those are temporary relationships, but we're sharing a road with somebody. And sometimes those relationships are really testing. And so we come to you and help us to have soft hearts, to be tolerant, to be kind, to always remember we're your ambassadors, that we really do represent you, and that there's a special onus on us to live lives that are pleasing in your sight. We pray for those who have forever, whatever reason, given up their freedom and are prisoners. We pray for Carl Alquist. We pray for many others. And then we pray for the ministries that different people have reaching out to these folks. We thank you for those opportunities. And we pray, Father, that even when people are incarcerated, that they will experience freedom, the freedom in Christ. And then we seek your peace on those in the nursing homes, homebound, assisted living. And this morning we remember Glenn Bartman and Gladys Kessel, that you would also surround them with your loving presence. Would you give peace to Don Winald on hospice care and give strength to him and Judy too? And then we ask your comfort for those who are grieving, praying for Don Groon and the passing of her mother-in-law, Joyce, and for Amanda Heiber grieving the death of her colleague, Sam. We pray for grace for all those who are grieving. And sometimes those losses are just real recent and everything's fresh and new. Sometimes they're from years ago, sometimes they're anniversary dates. But the pain is real because we miss those we love. Even when we celebrate that they're in your presence for the believer, we still miss them at the table. We miss them to make a phone call. We miss them to do things with. And so, Father, will you give comfort and will you give strength? Would you, O God, continue to shower your mercy on this land? May our elected officials turn to you for wisdom and guidance, and may your protective hand be on our servicemen and women. And as we prepare to celebrate our nation's birthday, thank you for all the blessings that we have enjoyed. Are we a flawed nation? Absolutely. We have experienced so much grace.
Father, don't let us squander the blessings that we have, especially the blessings of the freedom of speech and the freedom to gather, to worship you and to praise you, to do what we are doing right now. We pray for this world. We pray, Father, that peace that's been brokered between Israel and Iran, will you hold that? Would you establish peace in that whole region? We pray that too between Russia and the Ukraine. And we know, Father, that there's so many other places that don't even hit the news, but there's so much hostility and unrest. And our prayer would always be that when there is peace, that there might also be open doors to share the good news of who Jesus is, because he alone can bring true peace, true peace. And so, Father, we pray that for the world, we pray that for our own nation too, that in turning back to you, a revival in our land is what really would heal our nation. We pray to that end that you would keep the local church faithful to the truth of your word. And today we pray for Tom Johnson, and he ministers to the French-speaking Christians in our land. And then we pray for all who minister in your kingdom, near and far, wherever that might be, that they would be faithful to your word, but may they also see fruit on their labor. Father, would you bless Pastor Howard and the Beaver Island Christian Church? I pray that this is a special day for them. Thank you for the way he's touched lives up there, and will you bless him and watch over and bring him home safely at the appointed time. I thank you for the privilege you've given Mark and I to also go there and to lead in worship. And we pray, Father, for your blessing on that church, but also on that island, that people will be drawn to you and want to be part of the family of God. As we open your word this morning, Holy Spirit, will you instruct us, as only you can do that. Would you, Spirit, be our comfort as we profess that we believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. We offer this prayer in the name of Jesus, the one who made this all possible, praying together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's continue worshiping God by standing to sing number 367, Christ the Lord is risen today. 367.
You may be seated. Our scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and that's page 1641 in your Pew Bible. And a little bit later, we'll turn to the Heidelberg Catechism, and that's in your bulletin, so the back sheet, so just keep that handy as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting at verse 35, and I know the bulletin said to verse 49, but I didn't get that far, so we're only going to go to 45. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 35, hear the word of God. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined. And to each kind of seed, he gives its own body. Not all flesh is the same. People have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds another, fish another. There are also heavenly bodies and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind. The splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun is one kind of splendor, the moon another, the stars another, and stars differ from star in splendor. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable, it's raised imperishable. It's sown in dishonor, raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, raised in power. Sown a natural body, raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there's also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. May God add his blessing to this holy and inspired word. Well, we've come to the end of the Apostles' Creed, the last two lines. I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting, and then we say amen. And the word amen really means so let it be. This is truth. This creed is really a concise statement of our faith. And when we confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed and say, I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting, the question is, what significance does that have for you in your daily life? Does this really mean anything to me personally? Am I really making a heartfelt confession where I profess this as truth? A statement before God? A statement within the church family? A statement in the world I live in, the community I'm part of? Do I think of it as something that really reflects God's amazing glory? That our God can really do this? That this is truth? You know, everything in Scripture, this is kind of humbling for us, but everything in Scripture is always primary for the glory of God. And then we are the benefactors. We get the blessing. But it's always for his glory. And in this case, it is for our comfort. That's our blessing, the comfort. Have you also noticed that when we recite the Apostles' Creed, it's all singular I. I believe in God the Father. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the Holy Spirit. It's very personal. It's that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and then we get to the we when we see ourselves as part of the body of Christ, known as the church. As the church, we have a real privilege to speak out about eternal comfort to a dying world. This world has a lot of despair. You don't have to talk to a lot of people in this world to know that there's a real lack of hope. Many people just not sure what the day holds. Will it ever get better? What is this going to be like in this world? So these lines
are just powerful lines. To be able to say, I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting, they are relevant and significant. They offer hope in a world of hopelessness. If we couldn't offer people this, what else would we have to offer? I have visited with people who were dying of cancer that were non-believers, and then friends who also weren't believers said, you'll get through this. Everybody in the room knew they were lying. Nobody was going to get through that. You'll get through this. Hang in there. Be tough. And it's like, that's not speaking hope. We're just using euphemisms to make ourselves feel good. But there's nothing hopeful in that. And we are called to be God's witnesses in a broken world. And we alone can be that because we have the truth of God. There's hope within us. And that is where the comfort is found. The Catechism talks a lot about the comfort of God. The comfort of our faith needs to be more than just a spare tire. You know what I'm talking about the spare tire? Just a little add-on. At one time, those were really important, but you don't see a lot of people with flat tires anymore. Maybe you check how your spare is if you go on vacation or a trip. And as I was working on this, I thought, boy, I can't even use it as an example. I'm not exactly sure where my spare tire is. Now, if I suddenly had a flat tire, this would have urgency. I'm going to give you another example. We were with some friends, actually, they happened to be here, the Lomans. We were on a trip, an Alaskan cruise. And you know when you get on a cruise ship, and it was our first time, and then they give you all the instructions about, they first assure you this won't happen, but if anything bad should happen, this is the life jacket drill. But it was our first day, we just got on the boat, people were having fun. I decided I didn't need to listen too close to that. Everything looked calm, the boat was quiet. About 3 days in, I'm not exaggerating, we hit a storm and the waves were 45 feet high. What's the first thing I thought of? I should have listened. Thankfully, I have a wife who listens. And she was able to tell me what to do. Because I knew there were some things. You had to pull little strings and tie this and that. And there was another button somewhere else you had to pull out so the light would come on if you were floating in the ocean. And I'm like, I think this is important now. But I had no idea what it was about. It suddenly had urgency. So, does your faith give you a sense of security and comfort in everyday life that you know whatever happens in life, the trials of life, that this is a firm foundation that you can stand on and turn to? The reality of life, as Ecclesiastes says, there's a time to be born and a time to die. And think about going to the cemetery to bury a loved one. The cemetery is a hard place to find comfort. Emotions are raw. And the pain of death, the ache of death is real. And that's where we stand by this open hole and say, for the funeral of the believer, I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. That's absurd. That doesn't make any sense. We have a dead body in this casket. We're going to put it in the ground and cover it with dirt. And the reason we're there is because this person is dead. And we stand there and say, I believe in the resurrection. That's delusional. It doesn't make any sense. That is so odd, except if you are a believer. Then those words at the graveside bring great comfort. Those words give us strength. And you notice, too, when you're at the cemetery, your thoughts aren't on other stuff, like I believe in the resurrection on my cars, my bank account. We don't talk about stuff like that. No. The only thing that really matters there is the body. Now, I want to take you back to Lord's Day 1, okay? That's the start of the Heidelberg Catechism, and we looked at that some time ago. And Lord's Day 1 asked the question, what is your only comfort in life and in death? And we talked about how comprehensive that is. Because if we're not living and we're not dead, we have no other option. So this is my only comfort in life and in death. And the answer is that I'm not my own. And not this by myself. I'm not a lone ranger. I am not my own. But I belong in body and soul. That's all of me again. In life and in death. Totally comprehensive. To my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why that's a comforting opening to the Heidelberg Catechism. Because I belong to Him, He assures me of what? He assures me of eternal life, and He equips me to live for Him. Again, the now, He equips me to live for Him today, and assures me of eternal life for whatever happens. And so Jesus is the source of our comfort. There's no plan B. There's no other option. There is nothing else available to us except Jesus. And so we want to look again at comfort. And so turn to in your bulletin, it's actually on the back page, and we'll look at Lord's Day 22, and we'll read both 57 and question and answer 58. I'll read the dark, and if you'll read the light. Question 57. How does, and before I go on, and notice the word comfort. This is about comfort. How does the resurrection of the body comfort you? Not only my soul will be taken immediately after this life to Christ its head, but even my very flesh, raised by the power of Christ, will be reunited with my soul and made like Christ's glorious body. How does the article concerning life everlasting comfort you? Even as I already now experience in my heart the beginning of eternal joy, so after this life, I will have perfect blessedness, such as no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human heart has ever imagined, a blessedness in which to praise God eternally. Comfort. God understands how broken this world is, how chaotic it is, how uncertain and unsettling. So He wants to give us comfort. And so Lord's Day 22 asks, how does the resurrection of the body comfort you? How does this life everlasting comfort you? And when you think about world religions or our belief systems, many of them have to do with what happens after death. What happens when we take that final breath? And so here's some questions that people deal with. What happens when I die? Well, some people say nothing. You take that last breath, you're done. Other people are like, well, I'm not sure, but I think it'll all work out. Other people are like, God's loving, everyone will end up in heaven. It'll be just fine. And then the question sometimes comes up, do you believe there's a heaven and a hell? And today, most people don't believe in hell anymore. That's even true within the church, that they say, a God that is so loving. So those who believe that some people were bad enough they couldn't end up in heaven, often called nihilist. And that just means those people are just destroyed. And there's no trace of them. They're not in hell, but they're not in heaven. So there's all kinds of theories, all kinds of explanations. But if you ask, do you have the assurance of being in God's presence when you take your last breath? That's a very pointed question. And only true faith has the answer, because we know the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. If we don't know that, we don't have any insurance. We don't have any hope, and we don't have any comfort. So for the Christ follower, when I die, my soul goes to heaven, my spirit. And someday, my body will be reunited with my soul. That's why Resurrection Sunday, Christ is called the first fruits. He did it all at once. He resurrected body and his spirit, so he was already glorified. That's waiting for us too. And this is true by faith. If you really believe this stuff, you have the gift of faith. That's a gift from the Holy Spirit when this all makes sense to you. John 17, verse 2 and 3 puts it this way. For you, that's God, granted him, Jesus, authority over all people. When you read those words, you're reminded that the one we call Jesus has a lot of power and a lot of authority. And he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So when it reads that he has authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to those you, that's God, have given him. Now, this is eternal life. If you're wondering, well, how do I get this eternal life? What is eternal life? You know, sometimes we think we got to first die before we can start this eternal life. Do you know that if you are a believer, you are already started, have already started eternal life right now? You are already in eternity in that respect. Remember Psalm 23? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the shadow of death, but death itself can't touch you. The only true God and his Son, Jesus Christ, make this happen. And the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, reveals this to us. John 3:36 puts it this way. Whoever believes in the Son has, the word has is present tense. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. If you believe in the Son of God, you have eternal life. That's already begun. Not in all its fullness, but it's already started. And then it's also very clear. Whoever rejects the Son will not see life, and the wrath of God remains of him. So that is why we need to acknowledge who Jesus is. It never gets away from that. Jesus has to be central in everything that we do, and that means we can't deny him. We can't deny him, we can't reject him, and that's true in daily life too. Now think a minute about this phrase, I believe in the resurrection of the body. It is really a mysterious, profound, mind-boggling phrase, because this is at the final judgment. And I believe in the resurrection of the body. Think about that for a minute. That includes all the bodies who have ever lived through all of history. This includes the people who drowned in the flood. This includes the people who died when the Israelites were fighting the Hittites. This includes Goliath. This includes Caesar. This includes Judas. This includes Paul. This includes the people who died in World War II. This includes the people who have drowned. This includes the people who have died in the fires. This is the people that have been cremated, and this is the people that have been buried in the cemeteries. Everybody who has ever lived since Adam, when we say, I believe in the resurrection of the body, that includes everybody. And as I was thinking about this stuff, I thought, I can't even picture that, because my first thought is, well, this world isn't big enough for all these people. And then it's like, what an amazing, amazing God we have. This is wild stuff. This is way out there. If you were just coming along and saying this stuff to somebody, they'd look at you like, well, you're a little shaky. But then we think about the God that we have, and that he can do all of this because he's an omnipotent God. Now, little sidebar, in life, we often seem more concerned about our body, and that's very true in our culture, concerned about our bodies more so than our souls. We worry about, well, how we look, and if we've gained a little weight, and does my hair look nice, and do I need a little nip and tuck, all of that stuff. Do we watch and worry about all of that, and then in the meantime, our soul is malnourished. Our soul is starving. Yes, we look after our bodies. We've been called to be stewards of them. But we must not neglect our souls. Body and soul are important in the eyes of God. Why? Because he says, even the fulfillment of the law, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Strength would be another word for body. And so God will give us a brand new body at the time of the resurrection. I think that's incredible. I think that's amazing. And verse 45 is the last verse we read today. Talks about the first Adam. We are actually living in the body of like the first Adam, the ones created in Genesis. In the beginning, God created, and so out of the dust of the earth and the breath of God. But the second Adam always refers to Christ, and that's the spiritual body, the glorified one. So verses 42 to 44, and just look at them with me. They tell us about what this is going to be like. The best term I could think of was new and improved, but it's actually way beyond new and improved. It's a complete makeover. It says, so will it be with the resurrection of the dead. This is all in our handbook, personal handbook. Our resurrection, this applies to us. So it'll be in the resurrection of the dead, the believers. The body that is sown is perishable. Okay, we know that. That just means the body that is sown is the dead one. It succumbed to death, to sickness. But it's raised imperishable, eternal. It is sown in shame, which is the same as dishonor. Raised in glory. Sown in weakness. We know what weakness is. Raised in power. Sown a natural body. That's back to Adam. Raised a spiritual body. That's Christ. If there's a natural body, there's also a spiritual body. So we believe in death. Our soul is taken immediately to heaven. I know that some people believe in soul sleep. It's not like a game changer that would keep you out of heaven. But just think about, go with that. When you take your last breath, you immediately go to heaven when you're a believer. And we say that because of a couple of verses. One is on the cross, Jesus with the thief beside him says, today you'll be with me in paradise. He doesn't say, after you take a long nap, I'll wake you up and you'll be in paradise with me. He says, today you'll be with me in paradise. But there's even another better verse maybe, and that's in Matthew 22, Jesus teaching. And he's teaching about the Sadducees who didn't even believe in the resurrection. And he teaches them, and he says, about the resurrection of the dead. Haven't you read what God said? He says, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm the God of the living, not of the dead. And that's a very, very strong verse, too, to support that when we die, we go immediately to be with the Lord. And Paul talks about this in Philippians 1. 20:23, he says, I'm torn between, this is a prison letter, so he was having a hard time, and he says, I'm really torn between continuing to go on with life and doing what God's called me to do, but if this kills me, if they execute me, I'm good with that too. This is what he says about that. He says, I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. Okay, and elsewhere he says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So, in all this, we need to remember that Jesus is the first fruit. And we are like Jesus, and what he experienced, we will also. So Resurrection Sunday, when they saw him that night and he just came through the doors, I'm thinking, hey, we'll be able to do that too. Come through the walls. It'll be an amazing thing with our glorified body. So if you were ever at the deathbed of a Christian and they're right when they pass away, people say, okay, he died. He's dead. And that's correct. And then you can say at that very same time, he's more alive than he's ever been. And that is also correct. Because one is we're talking about the body is dead, but the spirit is alive. Yes, death separates the body and soul temporarily, but in the final resurrection, they will be reunited. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. You ever think about that? That our bodies are really the temple of the Holy Spirit while we're on this earth. So just wanted to wrap this up with, in this world, not one of us can escape death. That's a given. We all know that. But here's the good news as found in Romans 8, 38 and 39. Paul writing, there's a whole list. I'm just going to use a little part of it. For I am convinced that neither death nor life can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. You want comfort? You want assurance? You want peace? This gives you peace. And when we get our new bodies, they'll be Christ-like, they'll be perfect. Just think, we'll never deal with cancer, dementia, sore back, sore joints. We'll never have to visit a doctor, get dentures, glasses, walkers, canes, none of that stuff. There'll be no jobs in heaven that says, well, go see the doctor, and there'll be no funeral homes. Everything will be perfect, everything. So the anticipation of this can give us comfort, it can give us peace, and it can give us joy starting today. And that's why it's important to know these things and to give us a firm foundation in a world that is really unsettled, to know what we hang on to. This is why God, our Heavenly Father, reveals these things to us. He wants to comfort us. He wants to strengthen us. He wants to come alongside of us. So do you believe you're already experiencing life everlasting? I hope you do. It's very biblical. You are already experiencing life everlasting. 1 John 5:11 and 12 puts it this way, and this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. Doesn't say will give us, hopes to give us. No, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. We can never get away from that Christ is central to all of this. And then the warning, he who does not have the Son does not have life. Bottom line, to enjoy the comfort that is promised and offered by these lines, I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. You need to have a living relationship with Jesus Christ. There is no alternative. If you want to experience this comfort, this hope, this joy, this peace, this is the only way it is available. There is no other option. He is the difference between eternal life and eternal death. He is our comfort. So we can say with confidence, and say it with me, I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Amen. I don't think you are ready. Let's do it again. I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Amen. Father, we come to you and we thank you for the promises that you give us. Promises that give comfort, promises that give peace. You are the hope within us. And that's why you are our only comfort in life and in death. Thank you for giving us that assurance. Thank you for giving us that firm foundation. Thank you that we can look forward to eternity with eager anticipation and that you have promised you would walk with us each step of the way. We praise you. We worship you because you are so faithful, you are so loving, and you are a provider God, both now and forevermore. Amen. Let's continue worshiping our God by standing to sing number 361, Worship Christ the Risen King. We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 5. 1, 2, and 5 of number 361.
Thank you.
You may be seated. This time the morning offering will be received. The deacons will wait upon you. Heavenly Father, we blend our voices with the heavenly choirs and with all those singing on the earth. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. In the blessing of forgiveness of sins, the blessing of eternal life, there's nothing that compares to that. We worship you, we praise you, we thank you. Thank you, too, that you allow us to be stewards in your kingdom and give us this opportunity just to give back from our abundance to bless others. Will you use these gifts any way you see fit as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. After the benediction, we will sing number 308, There is a Redeemer, and we'll sing verse 1. Receive God's parting blessing. May the God of hope fill you of all joy and peace as you trust in Him. And may you overflow with hope through the power and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Brings to a close this week's broadcast from 8th Reformed Church in Wyoming, Michigan. We hope that you have received a rich blessing from this time spent around the Word of God. If you're not able to join us in person, we invite you to tune in to Jethro FM each Sunday morning at this time. You can also listen to a past service on our website at 8thchurch.org. That's 8thchurch.org. Until next Sunday at 9:30, it's our prayer that the Lord will watch over you and keep you in His care.